Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Shabbos Naf Nunches. Right at the top of Nunches Amar Aleph, at the first line, it says the Gemara, Ushmuel Omar Kavlo de Avda Tanan. Shmuel is referring back to our Mishnah, which told us that an Isha may not go out into Rosh Hashanah wearing a kavel, veloy bekavel. Now what exactly does this mean? So there are actually two items which can be described as a kavel. Which one is the Mishnah referring to? Is it referring to the kippah shel tzemer, the decorative woolen cap that an isha wear on her hair? Or is it referring to the kavlo de avda, this chosen, this seal, this emblem that a eved or shivcha, a slave or maidservant will wear to indicate that they are avodim, that it's an indication of subservience to the other and to the master? So which one is the Mishnah referring to? Which one may not be worn in Rosh Hashanah in a public domain on Shabbos, for fear that it might be removed and carried in Rosh Hashanah? So Rabbi Vohu told us, at the bottom of Nun Zayin Rebeis, that actually the Mishnah is referring to the Kippah Shel Tzemer, the woolen cap. There's a concern that she might remove it to show a friend, and this may result in it being carried in Rosh Hashanah for a distance of 4 amos, which is a malacha. And certainly the Gemara said a chosam of an eved is asur, again for fear that it will be carried. So according to Ravo, the definition, the translation of v'loy b'kavel in our Mishnah is referring to the kippah shel tzemer. According to Shmuel, it is not so. Says the Gemara inside of Shmuel, Amar kavlo da avdo tanan. The Mishnah is merely referring to the chosam of the eved, the emblem of the eved, where there is a real concern that perhaps you might remove it, as we will see soon in the Gemara. And this may result in it being carried in Rosh Hashanah. However, the kippah shel tzemer, that's okay. There's no concern there whatsoever. Why? Because a woman will not go and remove it to show her friend. She will not be tempted to do so for fear that she might uncover some of her hair. Therefore, there's no concern there. She may wear the kippah shel tzemer in Rosh Hashanah. However, the kavod of the avda, the chosam of the eved, this emblem, this carries a concern that it might be removed for some reason and carried in Rosh Hashanah. So once again, according to Rabbi Vohu, the meaning of v'loy b'kavel is referring to the kippah shel tzemer. And as the Gemara told us, certainly if that's a concern, certainly the chosam shel eved is also a concern. But the actual definition of the Mishnah is the kippah shel tzemer. According to Shmuel, the definition of v'loy b'kavel in the Mishnah is referring to the kavel de avda, the chosam of the eved. Continues the Gemara. U'shmuel omar kavel de avda tan. U'mi omar shmuel hochi. Is that so that Shmuel tells us that the chosam of the eved may not be worn in Rosh Hashanah? Is that so? V'amar Shmuel. But didn't Shmuel himself tell us otherwise? Yoytzei ha'eved b'chosam shebet tzavori. An eved may go out in Rosh Hashanah wearing this emblem around his neck. Avaloi b'chosam shebet ksusoi, but not the chosam attached to his garment. What is the difference between around his neck or in his garment? Soon the Gemara will explain. But in any case, we see clearly that Shmuel is telling us that an eved may walk out wearing a chosam around his neck, which seems to contradict the earlier quote of Shmuel, who interprets our Mishnah's prohibition with regard to the chosam shel eved, that he may not walk out wearing the chosam. Says the Gemara, let's resolve the contradiction as follows. Like Kash, it's not difficult. It depends who made the chosam, who fashioned it. Was it the master who fashioned it and he's wearing it upon the instructions of the other? Or was it something he himself designed? Ha the Oved Le Rabbi. When Shmuel tells us that an Eved may wear the chosam around his neck without concern, it's speaking about the chosam that his master made for him. In that case, there's no concern of removal. Why? Says Rashi. Perhaps let's take a look at Rashi inside. It's on the fourth line from the top. The Oved Le Rabbi, says Rashi. Isle Imsa. He's full of fear of his master. He certainly will not remove it from his neck to carry it in his hand, because he won't attempt to remove it for fear that his master will view it as a rebellious act, as though he's trying to hide the fact, trying to hide his identity. So therefore, in that case, he may wear it without any concern. Continues the Gemara. Ha da avid ilin afshe. Our Mishnah, which prohibits the Eved from wearing the chosam, is speaking of what type of chosam, the chosam that he himself fashioned, he himself made it. Ovid Ilu Nafshei, in that case, perhaps he's going to be tempted to remove it at times in order to avoid appearing like an Eved, like a slave. And he might do it in Rishus HaRavim, since there's no concern of the Ema, the fear of his master, because it was something which he himself initiated. So there's a real concern that he might remove it to look like a Ben Chayr, like a free man. And if he does so in Rishus HaRavim, this might result in the Chosam being carried on Shabbos. So once again, our Mishnah, which says it's Asur, speaking of the Chosam, which he himself made, the Eved himself initiated. The Shmuel, who tells us that an Eved may go out wearing the Chosam Shibet Savari, speaking about one which was fashioned by his master, which he will not dare to remove from his neck. Continues the Gemara, B'mayu Kimta Lo De Shmuel. So how did you establish, how did you construe this halacha that Shmuel tells us that an Eved may wear the Chosam on Rishus HaRavim? The Eved Rabbi, we're speaking about the Chosam which is master fashioned. If so, the Chosam Shebik Susai Amayloi. So why do you differentiate between a seal worn around the neck, which is allowed because he won't remove it, and the Chosam which is attached to his Beged, which you tell me he can't wear? What is the difference between the one around his neck, which he won't remove, and the one attached to his Beged? If he won't remove it, so what is the concern? Says the Mar, you're right, he won't remove it. But Dilma Mifsak, perhaps it will get detached. Umirsis, and now the Eved will get frightened. He'll be afraid that his Adon, his master, perhaps will notice that the emblem is missing from his clothing. Umikpale, and he'll be tempted to fold over the garment, to block over the missing, the area of the missing emblem. Umachas le'akatfe, and he will fold the beged, the garment, over onto his shoulders. And what's wrong with doing that on Shabbos? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi is Divra Maschel Mifsik, which is six lines from the top. Mifsik HaChosem. The concern is that the Chosem, the emblem, will become detached, v'nishbar, and break apart. U'mirsas mirabi. Now, he'll be afraid of his master. Shelo yoymar, shu notloi. The master, for fear the master should say, lest the master claim that he himself removed it. Laharis peshuk, to display in the market, shu ben chayr, that he's a free man. So he's afraid that the master will attribute the breakage, the detachment, to him himself. So he's going to want to hide the fact. How's he going to do that? Continues Rashi. Umekapale hatalas al ksefav. He's going to be tempted to fold the garment over onto his shoulders. Kdei shelo yiroe mokem achosem. So that the place of the missing emblem will not be visible. Velo yavinu shenafal. And the master will not be able to discern and notice that it's missing. And vidome yatalas al ksefav kemasoi. And what's wrong with folding the beged over onto his shoulder, says Rashi? It now has the halachic status of a masay v'loed, because he's not wearing the beged in ordinary manner. Continues the Gemara. Kid Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef. Just as we learned from Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef. Dom Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef. Om Rabbi Yechon. Hayoitze betalas mekupelas. If one walks into Rishus Ram wearing a talus, a folded talus, u'manachas la'aksa aksefav, and a folded talus lying on his, draped over his shoulders. That's not the ordinary, the usual manner in which one wears a talus. So if one does that, b'Shabbos chayav chatas. He is chayav chatas. Why is that? Says Rashi, this is the next Rashi, which comes out to be 12 lines from the top. Chayav chatas, says Rashi, de'enei tachshit. It's not considered to be an ornament, like a beged, it's not a garment. Ela bezman sheloiv shoy derech malbush. Only if he wears it in ordinary manner, in the usual manner. If one folds up a beged and drapes it over himself in that manner, that is considered to be a masu yelod and his chayav chatas. Here too, says the Gemara, what is the concern with the chosam attached to his garment? Indeed, they were speaking about a chosam which the master fashioned for him. Ovid lei rabbi. There's no concern that he's going to willingly, intentionally remove it for fear of his master. However, what could happen is that this chosam, which appears to be brittle, perhaps will crack off, will break off, and the Eved now will think, whoa, the master might attribute this to me. He's going to blame me. He's going to think that I'm trying to display a rebellious behavior and ignore my identity, hide my identity. So therefore he tries to hide that spot by folding the talus, and doing so might lead to a chiyuv chatas. because it's considered to be a masui. Klichiha, the Amalei Shmuel, the Rav Chinna Bar Shila. We see the same concern in the following Gemara. Just as Shmuel told Rav Chinna Bar Shila, Kula Rabbanon de Beir Shkalusa, all the Rabbanon that are aligned with the Reish Galusa, which was the head of the exile appointed by the government to lead the community in Galus. The Reish Galusa was some sort of liaison between the community and the government, and they actually had their own system, their court system, their own bezdin, and the Rabbanim that were subservient to this Reish Galusa, which were aligned, which identified with the Reish Galusa, would wear this emblem on their clothing. And Shmuel tells Rav Chinna Bar Shila, they must make sure not to do that on Shabbos. Kulu Rabbanon Berish Galusa Loi Lifku. They shouldn't go out into Rishis Ram Besar B'di Chasimi with their Sarbli, their Bgadim, which are Chasimi, which contain these emblems. Why? Again, for the same concern that perhaps it will break off and they perhaps will fold their Bgadim over to hide the breakage, to hide the missing emblem, for fear of the Reish Galusa noticing it. So they may not walk out with the chesam on Shabbos attached to their begotim. Levar benach, except for you. This is speaking to Rav Chinna Bar Shila. You don't have this concern. Why? The Beresh Galusa are not too particular about you, perhaps because he had a close relationship with them and did not question his loyalty. So there's no concern by you doing that because they're not makvid. They're not particular about you walking around without a chesam, without this emblem displayed, therefore there's no fear that you're going to fold over your talis and wear it on Shabbos in that manner. So once again we see that there's a real concern about chiv haitzah, about malachas haitzah, when one has an emblem attached to his beged for fear that it might break off, and as a result of the ensuing fear he might try to cover up the missing emblem and carry his beged in that manner, which constitutes a malacha of haitzah. So once again let's go back to the kasha and see how we answer the kasha. We had Shmuel who told us that the pshat in the Mishnah was that an eved may not walk out with a chaysam, with a kavla da avda. Then we have another Shmuel who tells us that it's okay. He may walk out with the chaysam shebet savari around his neck. Says the Gemara, you know why? Because the adoin, the master, fashioned it for him. And there's no concern that he's going to remove it in the street on Shabbos. The Mishnah is speaking about the chosam, which he himself initiated, he himself made it. In that case, there's a real concern that perhaps he's going to try to hide his identity and remove the chosam in Rishus. And he might carry it in Rishus Rabbim. The more proceeding told us that even when the master fashions the chosam, that is only a reason to be matir, to permit one to carry it around his neck, because it's going to remain there as is. However, on his beged, that cannot be one Rishus Rabbim for fear that it might break off. It might become detached. And simply because of fear of appearing as though he's trying to rebel against his master, he's going to try to cover up that missing emblem, and doing so may result in a Chiyuv Chatas on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara Gufa we just learned. Omar Shmuel, Yoytze Eved B'choysam Shabbat Savari. So yes, an Eved may go out just around wearing this chosam around his neck because it was fashioned by the master, because it's going to stay in place, which might break off and tempt him to cover it up by folding his talus. Tani nami hachi. We have a brice in support of this as well. Okay. Says the Gemara, v'raminu. We seem to have an opposing brice. The brayse says as follows: Lo yitzei eved bechoysem shabbat savori. An eved may not go out wearing a seal around his neck. V'loy bechoysem shabbat ksusay, or not with a choysem attached to his garment. Brayse doesn't differentiate between the tzavor and the ksus; both are asur. So we're going to get back to this contradiction, this apparent theory soon. But in the meantime, let's proceed with the brayse. The brayse goes into several other details, related details. V'ze v'ze in Mekablon Tuma, once we're speaking about this emblem, the Baisa wants us to know that this chosam, this emblem, this identification tag of a Eved, does not constitute a utensil, is not considered to be a kli with regard to Kabbalah's Tuma. V'ze v'ze, both types of emblems, whether worn around the neck, whether placed on a garment, ein Mekablon Tuma. do not contract tumah, not susceptible to kabbalas tumah. Explains Rashi, because it's not considered to be a functional kli, a kli tashmish. It's not considered to be a davar noy, an item of ornament. It's gnai, it's something which actually degrades the evet. So it's not something which is considered to be a kli with regard to kabbalas tumah. Continues the braisa. An evet, a person may not walk out wearing a bell around his neck, but he may go out wearing a bell which is attached to his garment. Both the types of bells, whether worn around his neck or attached to his beged, are considered to be kalim, vessels with regard to kabbalas tumah. Why, says Rashi, shetachshitu? Because it is an item of ornamental value. It is a decorative item, and therefore a tachshit of an adam is mekabel tumah. Continues the braisa, where lo yiseitzei behema. A behema may not go out into Rishus Rabim wearing lo yibechosem shibet savara, a emblem around its neck, velo yibechosem shibet susa, or an emblem, identification tag, attached to its garment, velo yibezuk shibet susa, nor a bell attached to its garment, v'loy bezuk shibet savar, a bell hanging around its neck. Why? Says Rashi, because a behemoth wearing an identification tag or a bell appears as though he's on his way to the marketplace. So the onlooker will think perhaps the owner is going to do business on Shabbos, and therefore he may not do so. Continues the Bryce, zeh v'zeh, ein mekabel tumah, both types of bells, whether hung around the animal's neck or attached to his garment, are not mekabel tumah. They're not considered to be utensils which are susceptible to tumah. Why? Says Rashi, because they ain't a tachshit l'behema. The concept of tachshit, of an item of ornamental value, being mekabel tumah, that only applies to a tachshit of a person, of an adam, but not a tachshit of a behema. Now, what pertains to us is that we appear to have a stira, a contradiction between Shmuel, who told us that an evet may go out into Rishus Rabim wearing the choysam, the emblem around his neck, and our braisa, which tells us otherwise. Our braisa begins by telling us, lo yeitze yo evet b'choysam shebet savara, he may not do so. Says the Gemara, how do we resolve this contradiction? Lema, perhaps we could suggest, it depends who fashioned the choysam. Ha, the avad le rabbi, Shmuel, who allows, is speaking about the choysam which was fashioned by the master himself. So meaning that he's wearing it upon instructions of his master. And in that case, there's no concern that the Eved will remove it in Rishus Rabim for fear of his master, not to appear to be rebellious against his master. So he's not going to remove it, and therefore he may wear it on Shabbos. So that's Shmuel. Our Bryce, on the other hand, is speaking about this is a chosam which the Eved is wearing by his own initiative, and therefore certainly there's a concern that he might be tempted to remove it, to hide his identity, to appear like a free man, and this may result in being carried in Rishus Rabim. So is that the way to resolve the contradiction? That Shmuel and the Braisa that we brought earlier, Tanya Nam Yachu, which supports Shmuel and allows wearing the chosam, is speaking about the chosam which was fashioned by the master. Our Bryce is discussing a different type of chosam, which is worn by the Eved's own initiative. Says Umar Lo, you need not make that type of distinction. Idi, both are speaking about the Avad Rabbi, the chosam which was formed, fashioned by the Rabbi, by the owner, by the master. What then is the difference? How do we reconcile the apparent contradiction? It depends what material this chosam is made of. V'kam b'shal mateches, v'kam b'shal tit. Shmuel tells us that Eved can wear a chosam shesurabim around his neck. It's speaking about an ordinary chosam which was made with tit, with simple clay. There's no concern there whatsoever. Why? Because he's certainly not going to remove it manually for fear of his master. What if the chosam breaks off, breaks apart? He's going to let it be. He's not going to trouble himself to bring the pieces back home. They're insignificant, they have no value, they're pieces of simple clay. So therefore, it's mutter to wear it. The braisa which tells us that an eved may not wear the chosam around his neck is speaking about shel mateches. It's made of metal. So the material itself carries some value. So there, although he's not going to manually remove it for fear of his master, rather there's a concern that perhaps the chayim will break off or detach itself, and the eved will trouble himself to pick up this chayim, the chayim that broke off, and bring it back home due to its value, to its inherent value, because it's matechas. Therefore, the brisa prohibits the eved from wearing the chayim in shus rabbi. Ukter Rachman, Omer Rabbi Bavua, who told us Dover, Hamakbidol of Rabbi, an item which the master cares for due to its value. For instance, this chosam which is made of matechas, Ein Yoytzim Boy, he cannot wear it in Shus Rabim, because there's a concern that even if it breaks off, he might go out and carry the broken chosam back home. Dover Shei Makbidol of something which carries no inherent value and the owner doesn't care for. Yoytzim boy, he may wear it in Shus Rabim. So this indeed is the resolution to the stira between Shmuel and the Braisa. Both are speaking about a chosam which the Adoyim, which the master fashioned. There's no concern that he himself will remove it, that the Eved himself will dare remove it. The concern rather is that perhaps it might break off. So if it's made of matechas, he's going to pick it up and bring it home. If it's made simply of clay, there's no concern there. And that's why Shmuel allows. Because Shmuel is speaking an ordinary chosam shotit. Says the Maharal Chinami Mistavrim, it is very logical, indeed, to construe and interpret the Braisa as speaking about a chosam shomatechas made of metal. Why? Let's take a closer look at the words of the Braisa. Midik Tani, since the Braisa tells us, both types of emblems, whether hung around his neck or placed on his garment, are not mekabel tumah. As we explained earlier, it doesn't have a din of a kli. Now, it would seem from the Braisa that why? What is the basis for not being mekabel tumah? Because this chosam is not a kli. However, if one would form a proper kli of this material, it indeed would be mekabel tumah. Continues the Gemara. Amrs b'shloima. It's understandable. Shel matechas, if we're speaking about a chosam made of matechas. And if so, the Braisa is telling us, Hani, these things which are not kelim, they're merely emblems, who the loy mekabel tumah, cannot be mekabel tumah. Ha kelim did too, but if you would fashion proper utensils out of the same material, mekabli tumah. Indeed, it would be mekabli tumah, because we're speaking about metal. Eli yamas b'shel titznan. However, if you propose that this Bryce is discussing an emblem made of clay, of simple clay, how can you say that ha nihud loy mekabli tumah? These emblems made of clay are not mekabli tumah, because they're not considered to be, they're not legally regarded as kelim. But this implies, we can infer from here, ha kelim did who mekabli tumah. But perhaps if you would make kelim, if you would form, fashion, proper utensils of the same material, of this clay, it would be mekabli tumah. How can that be so? We know that the halacha says otherwise. Vatani, we learned, kelei av klei avadim, stoneware, klei glolim, kelim made of manure, or klei adama made of simple earth, unprocessed earth, unbaked earth, they're not considered to be klei cheres. These things are ein mekabel tumah. Loi midiver ter, they're not mekabel tumah, not min hater, but midiver seif, not even the rabbana. So a kli made of simple tit of clay is not mekabel tumah. So you can't say that the Braisa is discussing an item made of tit, and the Braisa tells us, well, a chosam, that's not a kli. But this implies that a proper utensil made of the same material would indeed be considered to be a kli and mekabel tumah. That can't be so. Ella shmamina. Indeed, we hear from here, shamatecha shmamina. We hear that the Braisa is discussing items made of metal. And therefore, the Braisa draws that distinction between a chosam shamateches, which is not a kli and mekabel tumah, whereas a proper utensil formed from the same material, the same matechas, indeed is mekabel tumah. So indeed, this supports our interpretation of the Braisa, that indeed it's speaking about a chosam made of matechas. And that is the reason why the Braisa prohibits him to wear it in Shus Rabim, for concern that it might break off, and he might carry it back to his master due to its inherent value of the matechas. So in summary, Shmuel interpreted our Mishnah of Veloy Bekovel to be referring to a chosam of an Evet, And the Mishnah says he may not wear it in Shas Rabim for concern that he might go out and remove it to hide his identity. The Gemara continued and told us that the Mishnah is speaking about a chosam which the Eved himself fashioned. He's wearing it on his own initiative. And therefore there's a real concern that he might decide, well, I'm not interested in having this chosam right now. He might remove it. And this may result in being carried in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. However, Shmuel tells us that a chosam which the master fashioned, Asli Rabbi, and we're speaking about a chosam which is made of cheap material, simple clay, in that case, a Shmuel, he may wear it around his neck because he's not going to dare remove it for fear of his master, thinking that he's trying to ignore and hide his identity. However, if it's attached to his beged, Shmuel tells us it's usur. Timur explained the concern there is not that he's going to remove it, but perhaps it might break off and get detached. And simply due to the fear of his master, he might go ahead and try to hide the missing emblem by folding over his beged, which is considered to be a load carrying a master in Shabbos. The Bryce, on the other hand, is speaking about an emblem which is made of matechas. The master fashioned the emblem of metal, which carries value. And therefore, there's a concern there that perhaps the emblem will break off and the Eved will go ahead and pick up this emblem and bring it back home due to its value. Therefore, it's usur for the Eved to wear it on Shabbos, even around his neck. Continues the Gemara. Omar, we're going to proceed and expound on the other details which contained in this Braisa. So the Braisa continued and told us, V'loy b'zug shebetzavoroi, that the Eved may not go out with a bell around his neck. However, he can go out with a zug attached to his beged, to his garment. Says, well, let's try to explain. What is the difference between one and the other? What's wrong with the zug around his neck? Dilma mifsik might become detached. And it may result in the carrying. He may go ahead and carry the detached bell in Shas Rabim. Dilma mifsik might become detached, and he will have to go bring it and carry it to Mishus Rab. Zug shebik susoi, if so, the bell attached to his garment, there as well, nami lechush, let us be concerned, Dilma mifsik, perhaps it will come detached from his beged, vasil suyi, and be tempted to carry it to Mishus Rab. So why is that allowed? Hocha maiskinon, says the one we're speaking about, the mecha beimumcha, that the bell is actually sewn onto his beged. And in that case, there's no concern at all because it's going to stay there. It is affixed properly, and there's no chashash that it will become detached. Ukad Rav Huna ben Yeshua, the Omar Rav Huna ben Yeshua, kol shu arig lagaz, or anything woven was not included in the gzeira d'rabbanan. There's no concern of being detached, and therefore, although the zug, the bell around his neck, is not allowed because it might become detached, but if it is properly sewn onto his beged, there it's okay because there's no concern of it being carried in Shas Rabim. Continues the Gemara, Omar Mar, we learned in the Braisa, Lo yiseitzi behemo, lo yibechosem shebetzavara, a behemo may not go out wearing the chosem, the emblem, the tag, the identification tag around its neck, lo yibechosem shebeksusa, nor the chosem attached to its garment, lo yibzuk shebetzavara, the bell around its neck, lo yibzuk shebeksusa, or attached to its garment. Zevzeh, both types of bells, whether around its neck or on its garment, ein mekabim tuma, are not susceptible to tuma, as explained earlier, because a tachshit of a behema does not constitute a kli with regard to kabbalah's tuma. The halacha of tachshit by tuma does not apply to a behema. So a cowbell, for instance, is not mekabel tuma. Says the Gemara, is that so? Vezug de behema, ein mekabim tuma, v'ramenu. We have a kasha from the following brace, which seems to tell us otherwise. Zug shu behema tame. A zug, a bell of a behema, a cowbell, is tame. Is makabel tuma. Vishal del is tahir. A doorbell is tar. Why is that? Explains Rashi. Perhaps let's take a look at Rashi inside, the top line of Rashi. Vishal del is tar. Says Rashi, del is mechubar labayis. A del is attached to the home. It's considered to be attached to the ground. It's not considered to be a kli with regard to kabbalah's tumah, and therefore, a door is certainly not makabel tumah. What about the bell which is attached to the door? Continues Rashi. V'zug ha'asiloi. The bell which is serving, which is made for the door. Batel gabei. It's batel, it's subordinate to the door. And therefore, it also is not mekabel tum. Because something which is connected is considered to be bonded and unified and has the same halacha. Continues Rashi, Damrinan Besh Pirkin Le'el, like we learned earlier, Kolam Echubele, anything which is attached to it, Hari Kumayu has the same din. So the doorbell has the same din as a door, and it's not Makabotum. So the cowbell is, and the doorbell is not. Continues the Bryson, Shel Delas, Vasoyle Behema, what if he took the doorbell and designated for the Behema, decided to use it for the as a cowbell? Now it attains the status of a kli going forward and is makabel tuma. What about in the reverse? Shel behema v'asoy ledelas. He takes the cowbell and designates it for the door. Not only does he designate, he actually affixes it to the door. Avav v'shachibrei ledelas v'kavim v'masmer. He attached it to the door and he attached it very well with masmerim. He affixed it using nails. Tomei. It is still tummy. It retains its earlier status. We're still regarded as a kli, as though it's still a cowbell. Why? Because, technically speaking, it can still be used as a cowbell. He didn't ruin its function. He didn't physically alter it in a way which it's not suitable anymore to be used as a cowbell. And therefore, it still retains its kli status, and it's still mekabel tuma. As we learned, shekol ha-kelim, all types of kelim, yerdin, they descend into tuma, meaning they become susceptible to be mekabel tuma. Machshava simply by thinking. We know that a kli, in order to be mekabel tuma, needs to be a finished kli, a finished utensil, nigmar malachtei. So if one decides, the owner decides, well, I'm done with this kli, I finished the work on this kli, I consider it to be a finished utensil. Right now, it descends into tuma, it is susceptible to be mekabel tuma, merely by thought, by thinking. However, once it's in that status, it's considered to be a proper kli, and is susceptible to mekabel tuma. It can't emerge from that status. It can't leave that status unless there's actually a physical change taking place. He ruined it. For instance, he ruins the kli. He takes a kli and drills a hole in it and renders it unfit for its function. And therefore, in that case, it loses the status of kli. Therefore, in Al Gemara, when he simply takes the cowbell and it fixes it to the door, technically speaking, it's still usable as a cowbell. It still can perform the same function. He didn't ruin it. He didn't render it unfit to be used as a cowbell, and therefore it still retains its former identity, and it's still considered to be a kli with regard to Kabbalah's tumah. So what pertains to us is that we have a contradiction. In the earlier brachos we learned that a cowbell, a zug of a behema, is not mekabel tuma. Here we just learned, just the opposite, that a zug of a behema is mekabel tuma. It's considered to be a kli. Says Rav Kasha, it's not difficult. The resolution is as follows: Hodi isle invil. The Brisa which tells us that a cowbell is mekabel tuma, it's speaking about that the bell contains its invil, its clapper, and therefore is mekabel tuma. However, the first Brisa would tell us that a zug of a behema, a cowbell, is not mekabel tuma. The Leslie invil is speaking about a bell that does not contain its invil, its clapper, and therefore it's not mekabel tuma. Says Gemara, how do you understand this? Manavshach, how are you going to explain this? Imanu, if a bell is considered to be a kli, is considered to be a tachshit, is an item of ornament for the behema, and therefore mekabel tuma. Imanu, if it's considered to be a kli, afa be the lesli invil. Why do we need the invil? Why do we need the clapper to make it into an ornament? Ilav manu, if it doesn't constitute a kli, because we don't regard it as a tachshit. Invil mashle manu, is this clapper going to turn into a tachshit? So you can't say that the status of the bell, whether or not we consider it as a tachshit, depends on its clapper. What significance does that have? What influence does that have when we're discussing the tachshit, the ornament value of a bell? Says the Gemara, in yes, indeed. We're actually not speaking about whether or not we regard the bell as a tachshit, because as we discussed earlier, a tachshit of a behema is not makabel tumah. So what then is the pshat in the braisa which tells us that a cowbell is makabel tumah? Not on account of the fact that it's a tachshit of a behema, but rather because it's serving the person. It's producing a sound which allows the owner to detect its location, to verify its whereabouts, is functioning for the Adam. And therefore it's makabel tumah. So the braisa which tells us that a cowbell is not makabel tumah is speaking about a bell which is missing its clapper and not producing noise. The braisa which tells us that it is makabel tumah is speaking about a noise-making bell which is serving the master as a kli tashmish of the Adam, and therefore makabel tumah. Says Martin, yes, the clapper very much influences the status of the bell. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Omar Rav Yonasan, the Omar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Rav Yonasan, midnight. How do we know? So we have a metal item which is producing sound and is functioning, is serving due to its sound production. That too is considered to be a kli with regard to kavos tumah. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, called davar asher yava beish, anything which was taken through fire, which is used with fire, taviru ba'esh, you must purify it by taking it through fire. Now the pasuk uses the word davar. And we make a drush. Afilu dibur, even an item, a utensil which is merely serving the purpose of making, producing a sound. Afilu dibur, even a sound like speaking. So even this kli, which is merely functioning as a sound producer, yavai ba'esh, needs to be purified through fire. So we learn from here that even a kli, which is merely serving as a sound producer, like a bell, needs to be purified. And indeed can be makabel tumah. So that is the resolution to our stira. The first baish which tells us that a bell of a behema is not makabel tumah, speaking about a bell which is missing its clapper, not producing any sound. So it's merely serving as a pseudo tachshit, as a sort of ornament for the behema. A behema doesn't have a din tachshit with regard to kabbalah tumah, and therefore it's tar. The second braisa which tells us that a zug, a bell is makabel tumah, is speaking about a sound producer on account of its clapper. And in that case, it's being meshamish the person. It's a kli tashmish of the Adam. And therefore it's makabel tumah. Continues the Gemara. B'mayu kimta. Okay, how did you establish? How did you interpret the first braisa? But the last leinvil, it's missing its clapper. And therefore, the zug of the behemoth tar. If so, let's take a look at the other part of the braisa. Eimam tziyasa. Let's take a look at the middle clause. So the person may not go out into the sarava wearing the bell around his neck, as we explained earlier, because it might break off, might come detached, and will result in being carried. Aval, says the braisa, yoisehu bezuk shebeksusay. A person may go out wearing a bell affixed to his garment. And the braisa tells us, v'zeh makabel tumah. Both these bells, whether around his neck or affixed to his garment, is mekabel tumah. Says the Gemara, although we're speaking about a bell of a person, but if we're speaking about a bell which is missing its clapper, if it doesn't have its clapper, mi mekabel tumah? How could it be mekabel tumah? It's not functioning. It's not producing a sound. V'raminu, haven't we learned in a braisa that the clapper is essential? Because the reason why the bell is makabel tumah is due to the fact that it's producing a sound. Says the Bryce, ha'oise zagi l'machteshes, one who makes bells for his machteshes, for his mortar, so that we have some sound going on when he crushes his besamim, the k'tiris, these fragrances which actually benefit from sound, as Rashi brings the Gemara, Shah Koil, Yofel Absamim Koil, voice, sound, benefits in the production of Absamim. V'larisa, so he makes the, he fixes some bells to the cradle to help the child fall asleep. Ulamit Pachis Svarim, he fixes bells to the coverings of scrolls which were carried to the Beis HaKnesses, and it was meant to the children would hear that the sound of the bells, and they would know that it's time for to go learn. Ula mitpachas tinoikis, it fixes the bells to the coverings of the children, like a big garment. So he has the bells there, and the point here is that the parents should know the location of the child. So that's why he has these bells affixed to the mitpachas, to the covering of the tinoikis. And the Braisa tells us, yesh loim invil, if they contain the clapper and produce noise, tameim indeed they're tameim. Ein loim invil, but if they are missing their clapper and they don't produce a sound, tameim they're tameim. So you see clearly that even bells which were affixed to people, like these bells which were affixed to the children's clothing, require a clapper, require a sound production to be makabel tuma. Continues the Braisa. Nitlu in Vilei. Let's say they already had the clapper, but the clappers were removed. Adai in Tumas Nalein. They still retain their Tumas status. Why is that? Because once they were considered to be proper Kalim, they had their bells, they had their clappers. So they assumed the status of a Kli. And even after the Invil was removed, they still retained their former status. The Gemara soon will explain the reason for this. In any rate, we seem to have a machlokes. We seem to have a steer here between a braisa which told us earlier that a bell attached to a person, even though it's missing its clapper, is still makabel tuma. Whereas this braisa tells us that even a bell affixed to a person needs to produce sound, needs to have its clapper intact in order to be makabel tuma. The braisa concludes and tells us, well, once it was there and then removed, it still retains its status. But in principle and theory, is not considered to be a proper bell for Kabbalah Stuma unless it was fashioned with a clapper. Says the Gemara, there's a difference between a bell affixed to an adult or to a child. Says the Gemara, this is only regarding a bell attached to a child, which indeed is there for the noise, for the sound, so that the parent knows its child's location. Therefore, sound is indeed crucial here and determines the status of the bell. If it doesn't produce sound, it's worthless. Avol gadol, but the bell attached to an adult, tasha tulei, it's considered to be an item of adornment. And therefore, afagav d'lesle invil, even if it doesn't contain the clapper, it doesn't produce any sound, it's still makabel tuma. So in summary, we learned the halacha about a bell being makabel tuma. We have three categories: a bell of a behema, a bell of an adult, or a bell of a katan. A bell of a behema is only makabel tuma when it contains its clapper. What is the reason for that? Not because it's serving as a tachshit, as an adornment for the behema, but rather because it's being shamish la'adam, because the owner can verify its location and whereabouts, and therefore it's functioning for the adam, and therefore it's considered to be a kli with regard to kabbalah tuma. If it doesn't contain its invil, its clapper, it's tar. What about a bell affixed to an adult? If it has an invil, it's makabel tuma. And even if it doesn't have its invil, if it doesn't produce sound, it doesn't have a clapper, it's still makabel tuma because it is serving as a tachshit, as an adornment for the adult. Regarding a bell affixed to a katan, it depends. If it has its clapper and producing the koil, mashmiya koil, it is makabel tuma because the point and purpose of this bell is to serve as a sound producer for its parent to determine by sound where the location, the whereabouts of its child. So only in that case is considered to be a kli, it's considered to be makabel tuma. But if it doesn't have its clapper, in that case, since the point and purpose here is not for tachshit but merely to produce sound, if it's missing its clapper, it's not makabel tuma. Continues the Gemara. Amar, we just learned nitlu in Vileya. So if we have these bells which originally contained the clapper, but the clapper, the invil, were removed, adayun to masalein, they still retain their status. Says Molamai Chazu, what are these bells suitable for? What function are they serving? It would appear to us that this thing is considered to be a broken vessel. It can't produce sound. So why indeed is it still makabel tuma? The Gemara will give us three reasons. Firstly, Amar Abai, Hoyil Shahedit L'yachal Achzira, because an ordinary person, a layman, a non-professional, can easily replace it, can put back the inwardly clapper into the bell. Therefore, since it's easily fixed, it's not considered to be a broken vessel, and it's still mekabel tum. Masiv Rav asked the kasha, is that so? Even when the clapper is missing, you still regard it as a kli? We learned in a Mishnah as follows: Hazug va'invil chibur. The outer part of the bell is zug, and the invil, the inner part, the clapper chibur, is considered to be connected, one and together. It appears from here that we require that chibur. They need to be actually connected to be considered a kli. V'chi tema, perhaps you'll say, hachi kamar. This is what the Mishnah means to say. Even if it's not actually connected, command the mechaber dummy, regard them as being connected, because it can easily be placed back in the bell. Is that so? V'atanya, but we learned in the Braisa, which was learned together with that Mishnah, which seems to indicate that no, it is required to be actually connected. Otherwise, not mekabotum. The Braisa says, Ma'aspoyesho prokim. We have a scissors comprised of sections. V'izma shal rehitni. The blade of the rehitni, of the carpenter's plane. So these items can only function when their parts are joined together. Chibur l'tumah. They're considered to be bonded, connected with regard to tumah. So if a tummy thing touches one of these sections, the other one is also tummy. V'ein chibur l'azah. However, regarding azah, they're not considered to be connected. Meaning, if one needs to sprinkle the water of the paraduma to be metar this kli, so if he only sprinkles on one of the parts, only that becomes Torah, not the second part. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? V'arminan, we said, manavshach, how are you going to explain this? Ichibru, if they're regarded as connected, afilu hazah nami. So even with regard to hazah, to tahara of the Eifa Parah, let's regard them as one. V'lo ichibru, if on the other hand you don't regard them as connected, you regard them as separate entities, afilu tumah nami. So even with regard to tumah, don't regard them as connected. So if one of them becomes tummy, the other one should stay Torah. So how are you going to explain this discrepancy between tumah, where you regard them as mechubar, and hazah, when you look at them, regard them as separate? V'amar Rav, I'll explain to you as follows. Dvar Torah, minat Torah. It depends at what point. When did this happen? Bishas melacha, while in use. Chibur, these parts are considered to be one and connected because they're both required for the functioning of this item. You can't use a scissors without both parts. You can't use the plane without the blade intact. Therefore, they're considered to be connected. Bein l'tuma, bein l'azah. Regardless of whether we're speaking about tuma azah, they're considered to be one and connected. Shaloi b'shas m'loch, when it's not in use. Ein echibur. They're not regarded as connected. Loi l'tuma, not with regards to tuma. V'loi l'azah. They're considered to be separate entities, even if they're physically connected. But since they're not necessary, because they're not in use, therefore, we consider them as separate entities. It's only during the actual functioning of the item, where both parts are crucial and vital for the functioning, we consider them as bonded and connected. But when they're not in use, even if they're physically connected, we look at them as two separate entities. So that's Minat Torah. The difference is simply whether we're speaking about B'shas Malach in use, or when it's not in use. Midrabbanan, however, V'gazu L'chachamun applied Gzeirah. They said as follows. Al tuma shaloi b'shas melach. They said even when it's non-use, when it comes to tuma, we regard them as one. Why? Mishum, on account of a concern of tuma shei b'shas melach, on account of a concern of tuma that may take place when in function, when in use. Meaning that if we're going to say that when it's not in use, we don't regard them as connected. And if one of them becomes tummy, the other one remains tar, perhaps one might mistakenly apply that leniency even during use. The Chacham said, you know what, when it comes to tumah, it's always regarded as connected. On the flip side, Val Hazah, when it comes to Hazah, they were also machmen. They said, Val Hazah shei b'shas malacha. They said that even Hazah, during malacha, while in use, we don't regard them as connected. And if you are mazah, you spray the Eifa Parah on one part, the other one remains tummy. Why did they do that? Why did they apply this chumrah? Mishum, for concern of hazah shalei b'shas melacha. They were concerned about hazah that might take place when it's not in use. Meaning, if you're going to say that when it's in use, we regard them as one with regard to hazah, that if you spray on one, the other one becomes tar, perhaps one will apply this leniency even when it's not in use. Even when it's not in use, when they're regarded as separate. So on account of that concern, of that confusion, the Chacham said as follows. When it comes to Tumah, they're always considered to be connected. When it comes to Hazah, they're always considered to be separate entities. Now getting back to our bell with its missing clapper, according to Abayi, why is it still Mekabel Tumah? Because the clapper can be easily restored, and therefore regarded as if it's restored and it's Mechubar. So it still retains its Kli status, even though the invil, the clapper, is physically not present inside the bell. Says Rava, that cannot be the case. This Brisa indicates to us that when we have a Kli which is consists of two parts, only when the parts are physically joined together are they considered and regarded as Mechubar and connected. How do we see that? Because the Brisa taught us that when we have a Kli which is comprised of parts, Mina Torah, when are they considered to be connected and Mechubar? Only B'Shas Malacha, during use. However, Chachamim were concerned that perhaps a person might confuse and not differentiate between when it's actually in use and otherwise. He may not draw a distinction between Shas Malacha and when it's not Shas Malacha. Therefore, Chachamim applied the Gzeira. Explains the Ritzvah. Apparently we're speaking that the Kli has the same form. It physically looks the same. And therefore the Chacham are concerned about confusion. Now during Shas Malacha, while it's in use, certainly the parts are physically joined and connected. Otherwise you can't use the Kli. Therefore when the Chacham applied the Gzeira, they were concerned about confusion. It is evidently speaking in a case where the parts are joined together. And there's a concern that a person might not differentiate between while in use and while not in use. Apparently, says Rava, the only time we consider something to be Mechubar is when the parts are joined physically together. Otherwise, there's no reason in the world. There's no room to consider them to be Mechubar and connected. There's no din of Mechubar unless the parts are actually joined. So by the bell, which is missing its clapper, if it's physically not inside the bell, it's not considered to be Mechubar. So why then, when the clapper goes missing, do we regard this bell as a Kli? Says Gemara, Ella Amarov. I'll tell you the reason. Hoyle, since V'roy la'akishay al-gabal kli'cheres. Because this bell, even if it's missing its invil, it's missing its clapper, can still produce a sound. Because you can clap it on a cheres, on a piece of pottery. Says Rashi. This is the top line of Rashi. Hoyle v'roy la'akishay al-gabal kli'cheres. U'mashmi'a kol kibatchila. It can still produce a sound, just as it always did. V'lei batalei b'mlacha rishayna. Its function, its original function, did not become nullified. Therefore, it's still considered to be a Kli. It's Marnami, we also learned, Omer Beis Rechanina, Hoyel Beroi, La'akisha Al-Gabecheres. Rabbi Yoichan Omer, I'll tell you another reason. I'll tell you a different reason why this is still considered to be a Kli. Not because it can produce a sound. Hoyel Beroi, it's fit, it's usable, it's suitable, L'gabeya Mayim Latinik. To feed a child water. It can be used as a cup. And therefore, it still functions. It's still considered to be a Kli with regard to Kabbalah's Tumah. So in summary, a bell whose invil was nital was removed, it's still Mekabel Tumah. Says Abayi, because it could be easily restored by a hedyot, even by somebody who is not a craftsman. Rava says, because it can still produce a sound by clapping it on a cheres. Rav Yechon says, it can be used as a cup. Time for a brief chazora of today's daf. We began with the halacha of a choisim shel eved, an emblem worn by a servant. May he wear it out in Tishus Rav on Shabbos. We have the Mishnah which tells us he cannot wear it. Shmuel interprets the Mishnah, the words v'loy bikavol, as referring to the choisim shel eved, and it cannot be worn in Tishus Rav. Why? Because it's speaking about the emblem which he himself produced, himself fashioned. It was not produced by his master, and therefore there's a concern. They'll be tempted to remove it in Rosh Hashanah to hide his identity and carry it in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. Shmuel tells us that if the master fashioned his emblem made of tit, of simple clay, then if it's worn around his neck, it's mutter because he won't dare remove it. But if it's attached to his beged, to his garment, there's a concern that it might break off. And then the Eved, he'll be concerned that perhaps his master will incriminate him. He's going to want to hide the fact that he's missing the emblem, fold over his beged and wear it in that manner, which is considered to be like a masui carrying shesurabim. One wears a beged in an unordinary fashion, he folds it up. It's considered as though he's carrying a load. And Brisa tells us that he may not wear an emblem even around his neck. We're speaking about the emblem produced by his master, but it's made of matechas, of metal. And the metal has inherent value, so therefore there's a concern that if it becomes detached, the Eved will trouble himself to bring the broken emblem back home to his master, and this will result in carrying something which is Rav on Shabbos. We learned about a bell. Is it Mekabel Tumah? It depends. What type of bell we're speaking about? A bell of a Behema? It's not a Tachshit. It doesn't have a din of Kabbalah's Tumah, because a Tachshit of a Behema is not Mekabel Tumah. What about if it has an inbuilt clapper and produces sound? Then it's Mekabel Tumah, because it is Meshamesh La'odam. It is serving the master by informing him of the whereabouts of his Behema. What about a bell affixed to an adult? In that case, is regarded as a Tachshit of Mekabel Tumah, because a Tachshit of an Adam is Mekabel Tumah, but not a Tachshit of a Behema. Therefore, regardless of whether or not it has a clapper inside, it is Mekabel Tumah, because a Tachshit of an Adam is Mekabel Tumah. What about affixed to a cotton, a minor, which is intended to produce sound to inform its parent of his whereabouts? In that case, only if it has the invil inside, it is Mekabel Tumah. What about if the invil was there but went missing? It is still Mekabel Tumah. We have three reasons. Abaye says because it can be easily restored. Rava says because the shell of the bell, even without its clapper, can still produce a sound by clapping it on a cheres. Rav Yechon says because it can still be used as a cup.